CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
And it caught us by surprise. But anyway, we're glad you've joined us today. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together every weekday afternoon at this time, usually to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. And again, what we hear in church, been reading the Bible on your own, come across something you don't understand, hey, give us a call. That's why we're here for you. Because again, it's so important in these days that we live in to know what you believe and why you believe it. I think one of the worst things we can say is, well, I believe that because that's what my church believes. That don't mean nothing. What do you believe? See, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why I believe it's so important that you understand that father-child personal relationship God wants to have you that religion does not offer. You see, religion has you out there earning it, trying to show your worthiness. You know, if you do enough good deeds, you just might make it. Well, true Christianity is where God says, I adopt you as my child. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. And I think that's so wonderful when we have that open door from God saying, hey, come be my child. I want to be your dad. And you know, then we live our lives for our King. We live our lives for our Father, not for ourselves. You see, that's what being born again is all about, accepting what Jesus did on the cross, that he died for us, his blood covered our sins, reconciled us to the Father. And boy, I'll tell you, what a wonderful way to live, rather than the mindless way the world lives, without any purpose, without any hope of eternity. Friends, that's what God has given you and me forever. And so in this time of New Year's resolutions, oh yes, that's what we're going to talk about this Sunday morning at the River Christian Fellowship at 10:30. We're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions, what's really changed. And we're going to talk about that because, you know, we always make all these ideas. Oh, I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And usually by the third week, we're pretty much done with our New Year's resolutions and we're back the way we were. But, you know, we don't have to be that way. And, you know, I believe that deep down in the heart of every individual, they realize they do need to make some changes, whether it's the friends they hang out with, the way they eat, what they drink, what they smoke, all these different things. I believe deep down in the heart of man, they know the way they should be. Well, we're unable to change by ourselves. You know, the Bible says we cannot live righteously on our own, but in Jesus Christ, who strengthens us, changes us, and makes us be what he wants us to be. What a wonderful hope we have from him. So if you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd like to invite you to church this Sunday morning, 10:30 is when the sermon begins on the radio. And if you're coming live or coming to church, 10 o'clock, right at the River Christian Fellowship, right where you turn to go to Shoshone Falls. Love to see you here. We'll have a great time. This Sunday is Agape Sunday. And so we just have a great time of eating, breaking bread together, fellowshipping, studying God's word. Hey, want to invite you to come. Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker on the weekends, we have Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. Hi and welcome, Brad.
Oh, hi, Pastor Mike. It's great to be on the program. Thank you.
Boy, all kinds of things going on today in the Senate and in the House. And looks like Speaker Johnson has made it for another term, and that's a good thing.
Yes, yes. There really wasn't much other choice, I don't think, that for the Republicans, and except to punt and give the House to the other party, the Democrats. So I think that Mike Johnson is someone who I've met before. I know him, so I think he's going to. I think he's going to do all right. I know people have had some concerns about some of his decisions, and I think he's going to learn from those. But he's a man of deep appreciation for the Constitution, constitutional law. He's actually a constitutional law attorney, like myself, and strong Christian. And I think that he's going to continue to grow into the position. And So it is a learning experience, but I'm somewhat optimistic that he's going to be very sensitive to the directions of the commander in chief, and the directions where Trump wants to take this country, which is what Trump was elected for.
Amen. And to remind us all what makes America different than the nations of the world. And again, when we look at how important it is, our constitutional form of government, all these things, I keep hearing, oh, Trump's going to destroy the democracy. No, he's going to destroy communism. And that's one of the things that the left don't want. And they call communism democracy. Now, this is a trick of the left that they do. They call communism democracy. Trump's going to destroy democracy. No, he's going to destroy communism. That's what he's out after. You see, again, when we have what Nikita Khrushchev said, we will bury you 80 years ago. Well, you see, friends, this is just about what we've got right now again. And they worked their way into all of our schools, our seminaries, local city, state, local governments, all across America, especially in Hollywood. And we see the mess that we've all had where we don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. Thinking butchering children in the name of transgenderism is a good thing. Wow. How sick America truly is. We really do need true biblical leadership, going back to what our forefathers saw for each freedom for America. And again, freedom is not freedom to go out and do whatever you want to do. This is a mistake. Well, I want the freedom to murder my next door neighbor. His water got on my freshly washed car. You see, this is their mentality of freedom. It's not. And again, when freedom becomes just gang warfare, friends, that's not freedom. Going back to what really we need to understand. And so we need to pray. We saw some really sad things over the first day of the year. And my heart goes out to all those. We have a station there in New Orleans. And for all of you that are there, our heart goes out to you as you were brutalized, the terror attack. And then also in Las Vegas. So we're a nation divided. But I believe that Jesus is the one who unites us. And so being about our Father's business, letting your light shine, so important in these days. You know, Brad, really quickly, you represent people across America. Every day, people like you and me from unfair laws and city, state, local governments. What's some of your latest cases?
Yeah, it's been go, you know, for 2024 for us. We now have 245 cases in active litigation. One of the most interesting cases that we're involved in right now that we're watching, and I know many people are, is it's coming out of Oregon, and that's dealing with the ability for Christians to be able to adopt or to be foster parents, period. The state of Oregon says, no, unless you're willing to deny your faith, and in essence, by pledging to promote a child who purportedly has gender confusion, unless you're willing to do that in that hypothetical situation, you can't adopt, you can't be a foster parent, not in the intolerant state of Oregon. Well, we're taking them to task on that. We have another interesting case on the West Coast up in Washington State involving a Korean spa. It's owned by Christians. It's just for women. And a man insisted he could be in it. And they said, no, this is, you know, people are naked in Korean spas, mothers and their teenage daughters. No, absolutely not. You can't be naked in front of them and look at them naked. So he filed an action in the state of Washington. Human Rights Commission is bringing, has filed an action to shut them down. We've sued on their behalf. And we're taking this case up through the courts, and it's a very important case. I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court. Then we've got, of course, the case all the way down in San Diego dealing with a Christian preschool that was shut down by a SWAT team. A SWAT team, basically. I mean, bulletproof vests, guns. These are four-year-olds shut down because the kids were being compelled to sing Christian songs And also a few of the kids were not wearing their masks as the county authoritarian had dictated. This is a privately owned church-run preschool. So we're going to bat for them. And in New Jersey, of course, we're suing them for compelling every teacher to lie to parents about gender identity of the child, to hide things from parents. So we've got a lot of cases, just sort of a brief snapshot. And we're very optimistic moving forward. And, of course, we already had a victory as a result of the election. We had a pastor being prosecuted up in Michigan, along with a few others, for being on the premises of an abortion clinic. He didn't threaten anyone, no violence, didn't touch anyone. But nonetheless, they're being currently prosecuted by the Department of Justice for up to 11 years behind bars. This man, one of them is a pastor, has three boys. Well, after Trump was elected, you know, there's a criminal proceeding taking place. We're representing this pastor. But after Trump was elected, the judge says, you know what, I think there's a good chance that the next Department of Justice head is not going to agree with this and may go in a different direction. I don't want to waste my time prosecuting them. So we're just going to wait and see who the next head of the Department of Justice is, the next attorney general, see if they agree with this prosecution. And because he knows, obviously, that it's going to be dropped. So it's already impacting some of our cases in a very positive way, this election.
Well, so a lot to pray about. Well, let's go to the phones. Again, if you want to be part of the program today, we got some lines open, 8888-ASK-CSN. You can be part of the program. We're going to go to Rusty in Missouri. Hi and welcome.
Hi. I have a situation. A lady in my church gave me a note, whether it was supposed to be a word of prophecy or word of wisdom, whatever. But and basically, in the nutshell, it said that the Holy Spirit wants to meet me on the playground to play. And I know that's wrong, it's irreverent, but what's kind of a little interesting is I had been looking, potentially wanting to get a new vehicle, and one of the lines on the note actually said, he holds the keys to your new car. And I had not talked to anybody about getting a new vehicle, so I thought that was interesting that she pulled that out. But, and then the kicker is she passed it to me through the pastor, and I'm like, how does he not see this? I'm not sure what to do.
Well, it sounds to me like that's pretty general. And just because there's a anomaly of maybe getting a car or something like that. David said, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go into Sheol, you're there. Where can I go to get away from your presence? And so for somebody to say, well, God wants to meet you on the playground, I've got to say, I don't really find a scriptural basis for something like that. Now, again, I think God is very capable of giving us a little more information, but to just say God wants to meet you on the playground, what playground? How long? When? What time? What for? What's the reason? And I think when you really begin to look at those reasons, I think the, so to speak, word of knowledge is so general, unless there was something in particular that you were questioning about the playground. I don't know. I think that that's a little out there. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I agree. Three things to look at, actually. First is, you know, does it say something that decisively disagrees with Scripture in any way? Is it heretical? Is it say something that the Bible doesn't agree with? Okay, so it sort of passes that. It's really not related. I don't see anything counter to Scripture. However, the second thing I would look at is it something that is actually meaningful? Is it specific? Is it validated itself based on the intricacies, if you will, of it to show it's not just a broad general thing? You know, look at the moon and God will shine with you His light. Well, you know, it's that kind of a thing. I mean, it could apply to anyone potentially.
Yeah, so general, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then third is a confirmation from the Holy Spirit. You know, does it give you peace? Is it something that can be backed up and solidified by other individuals or other things, other words of, you know, that you've received? And so that's sort of what the test sort of that I use. And I think that can be really helpful. You know, one example of where things are backed up and confirmed. I remember when my grandfather was dying of leukemia, he told my grandma, he says, he says, do you see all the crosses? I see crosses all throughout the room. Do you see all the crosses? Now you might think, well, maybe, he's saying that. Well, my great grandma, her mother was also passing away in another hospital of bladder cancer. And she said the same thing. Do you see all the crosses? I see crosses all throughout the room. Well, those are two things together that show there's a confirmation here that God's giving a message of peace, and God does work in situations like that. But we have to be very careful because there are false prophets, and people, I think, sometimes do that because they want to be perhaps significant or spiritual. We have to be very wise and discerning at all times.
Yeah, God's everywhere. Psalms, again, 139, verse 8. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. It makes no difference where we are. God is there. So not just on the playground. I hope that helps.
Well, I don't think I was clear because it wasn't just meet me on the playground. Meet me on the playground to play.
I think that makes it even worse. Because again, I don't see the significance of that. Now, unless there's a specific thing that, I'm going to meet this person outside on the playground to talk about a business deal or something. I don't know. But it's just too general for me to say, oh, this is of God. If it is, I've shared this before, but my sister was dating a guy. And she did not know if the guy was really in love with the Lord or he was just putting on a Christian front to impress her. And so they went to a church, and this minister that was there visiting that day had a word of knowledge. And he pointed at my sister and her fiance and said, come up here. So they came up in front of the church, and he looked at my sister and said, you're to submit. Go sit down. She went and sit down. Then he went to him, and this was in front of the church. My sister heard it. There's three things that make a man: a king, a priest, and a prophet. You've not made priest. Go sit down. And my sister said, what she was praying about was, should I break up with him or should I not break up with him? God, show me if this man truly is in love with you, or if he's in love with something else. And soon as it said, you didn't make priest, the command to go submit was to break up. And that's exactly what she did. And so it's really amazing. I think a lot of times these words of knowledge that may not make sense to anybody else will make sense to you if it's pertinent in your life. I think we need to be careful sometimes of generalities. This starts getting into the Notre Dame's things. You know, when the three clouds appear above the mountain, then we know that the moon is in position with Mercury or whatever. Oh, well, this means that there's going to be three more. You don't know what it means. It's so general, you can't tell. But I found prophecies in the Bible are so exact. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. That happened in 1967 and had not been that way 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. It was either under the Jerusalem was in the hands of the Gentiles, a Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, when Jesus made that remark, then laid waste for almost 2,000 years. And now it's come back under the control of the Jews, exactly to the letter what Jesus said. Exact. Luke chapter 21, read it. And so when I see that kind of exactness, I go, that's God. So Rusty, I would just say that unless there was something in particular you were praying about, a playground, parking lot, or going out playing football or something, I don't know. Only you would know that. But if it makes no sense to you, probably, again, it's a very general term, and I don't know what that means. Hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Rusty. Stay on the line if you like. And a happy new year to you. I'll send you out God of Wonders, as well as the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke, and also 101 Last Days Prophecies, for calling in. Let's go to Linda in Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi. Tell me, Will.
Well, I'm calling today because I have a friend in prison who is in prison for things he did and did not do. He's been there for 30 years.
Oh, my.
And so I'm wondering if there is legal help for him.
Brad, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I would need to know more about it, the situation. I mean, there's a good chance that he may have already exhausted his opportunities of appeal, or maybe he's already appealed and gone through that process. You know, there are limitations to, in terms of the opportunities to appeal judgments and or convictions. So, I mean, I just don't have enough information on this to really be able to say anything really substantive on this. I'm sorry, can't help you more, but there's public defenders, there's criminal defense attorneys out there. I'm sure he's probably talked to them, and it's their job and responsibility to represent such individuals in those situations seeking to have a rehearing or an appeal or something like that. So I really can't comment, unfortunately.
Yeah, it would be, you'd have to look at it, and also, Jared, that would probably vary a lot from state to state. So you'd probably have to talk I see you're in Washington. If this is an issue in Washington, then you'd probably need to talk to an attorney to find out what may be done to help him. But I do know it does vary from state to state. So I hope that helps.
I don't feel free to air on the public radio the charges that are against him or his history. But I was told that I could call here and get some suggestion of a man or woman who would be interested in researching the case. But that apparently isn't true.
Well,
yeah, we do. We at Pacific Justice, we defend religious freedom, parents' rights against the government, sanctity of human life. The only time we'll do criminal defense is if people are doing things that are like preaching the gospel in public places, or ministering at an abortion clinic, they're being criminally prosecuted for doing kingdom work. But otherwise, you really need to talk to an attorney that has expertise as a criminal defense attorney. Dan, I'm sorry. Like I say, I'm sorry I can't help you. It's beyond our expertise.
Yeah, Linda, when it comes to the whole legal process, it is so wide, and how every case is very unique to itself. The amount of charges against an individual, all these different things. This is why it makes it very difficult. And just as you even said, over an open air type of forum, it would be very difficult to really give you the kind of advice I believe that really would do you justice. And so I would say you'd probably have to talk to a lawyer skilled in this particular area. Now, we do know there are property lawyers, there are civil lawyers, there's all kinds of different lawyers. And so where Brad's expertise really deals with misappropriation or laws overreaching their intended use, I think this is more along the lines of how we can help. And certainly we've helped many, many people here on CSN through Pacific Justice Institute, as well as Brad being on this program. But when it comes to something of that nature, where you even you said I can't discuss it over the over a public forum, I really would recommend that you would contact your local lawyer there and talk to him, because I do believe it, it really does vary from state to state. Stay on the line, Linda, if you like. I may send you out some things I think you'll enjoy, the movie Jesus, as well as 101 Last Days Prophecies, and of course, I Gotta Wonder. Stay in line. We'll get those sent out to you. Happy New Year to you. And pray that God directs you to the right people to help your friend. Let's go to Steve, Toledo, Ohio. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, thank you, Pastor. So I have two what I think are simple, quick questions. But first one would be, is it biblically required to attend church every Sunday?
Well, in Luke 4:16, it says, and I'll just read this to you, Luke 4:16, it says, and when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read the scriptures, as his custom was, as it says in the old King James. My point is that if Jesus went to synagogue regularly and he was God, I think it's a pretty good idea that we go too. Hey, we're coming up on a break. We're going to talk more about this on the other side, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Once again, I'd like to invite you to church this Sunday, 10 o'clock at the River Christian Fellowship. We're going to be talking about those New Year's resolutions and how to make them stay through the entire year. So we're going to be talking about those things. If you're unable to attend in person at 10 o'clock, well, you can pick it up on the radio on any of the CSN radio stations across America, and again at 10:30. And so we look forward to being with you then as well. Now, back to the phones we go. We had Steve on the line asking the question, is it biblically required to attend church weekly? Well, when we say required, we go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us, not because we attend church or don't. However, we do know that Paul says we're not to forsake the assembly of the saints together. Now, the idea that, well, you know, I'm going to go to church every Sunday and I'm going to punch that time clock and I'm going to hang that card up. And then when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to pull that card out and show God I made every single service. That doesn't really do anything for us in eternity.
Right.
And I think this is a mistake that people make because they think, well, something I do is going to make me spiritual. Nothing makes us spiritual. Well, I don't eat pork and I worship on Saturday. Doesn't do anything. Nothing for your spirituality, friends. Nothing. The Bible says no good thing dwells in the flesh. What does that mean? That means we, as human beings, are incapable of generating spirituality. Now, there's things we do to please God, but the Bible tells us to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, Jesus said, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus then goes on and says, upon these two hang all the law of the Old Testament. That's what pleases God, when we love him and love our fellow man. If I love my fellow man, I'm not going to be slandering him. If I love my fellow man, I'm not going to be stealing from him. If I love God, I'm not going to be using his name in vain. You see, this is what the Bible talks about. Upon these two, Jesus said, hang all the law and the prophets. But what about going to church? What about these other things? Well, the Bible says not to forsake ourselves, the assembly of the saints together. Jesus himself, as I read earlier on that, because again, I think it's so important because Luke 4:16, as it tells us, when he came to Nazareth, he went to the synagogue. And as it says, that he had been brought up in, he entered as his custom was into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, as his custom was. Jesus' custom was to attend fellowship once a week. Now, if that's Jesus and it was good enough for Jesus, I think it's good enough for me. Now, I will say this. If you're going to a church that doesn't teach God's word, if you're going to a church that's boring because it's not alive by the Holy Spirit, and I don't mean people swinging on chandeliers or running up and down the aisles with flags. I'm talking about the anointing of God is there that causes the word of God to come alive. Well, it's no wonder so many people don't want to go to church. Because again, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will change us inside. So I understand why a lot of people don't want to go to some boring orthodoxy that just, oh, feeling me, bony tummy, you know, hocus pocus, dominocus, Nabisco vanilla wafers. Betcha I can beat you all in dominoes. You know, I mean, who wants to go hear that? I want to hear God's word come alive. It goes in my heart and changes me. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, I enjoy your listening to your version of Latin. That's that's great. I agree with you 100%, Pastor Mike, in that we don't want to fall into legalism where, you know, let's say you're not feeling well on a Sunday morning. You know, then, you know, stay at home. Let's say you're on a vacation with your family and, you know, you've got the things, you know, all laid out and you're, you know, we've got a lot of flexibility. The purpose, you know, God didn't make, you know, man for the Sabbath, but he made, you know, Sabbath for man to bless man with the ability to rest and to spend time with believers and to be encouraged. And so when Christians think, well, you know, I don't really, you know, have to go to church. Well, I say, well, yeah, I'd say you don't have to eat vegetables either. But if you don't, you're going to pay a price and you're not going to receive the full benefit. And I think that's the right perspective, is to see it as an opportunity. Once again, if you're attending a church where you're like, oh gosh, I got to go to church, this church is, then find a church that is preaching from the word. Knows how, you know, to worship the Lord, to point your eyes towards Christ, and then also if you just don't like going to church at all generally, then, you know, dig deep in your own personal relationship with the Lord. Is there a reason you don't want to go to church? Is there Are you convicted of something in your life that sort of keeps you from wanting to go to church? I've seen that quite a bit where people say, ah, we're shacking up and I really don't want to go to church right now. Well, that's an indicator that sort of like a little a blinking light on your in your car saying, okay, there's something wrong here. And you don't want to turn off the blinking light. You want to see what's going on that's causing you to feel that way, not wanting to go to church. And also some people also have depression, just general depression. And of course, that's another blinking sign that there needs to be something that needs to be addressed.
So I hope that helps.
It does. Thank you so much. I love the Latin as well.
Oh, I know. I don't know Latin, but I can fake it. You know, I'll reiterate for those that missed that. Hocus pocus, dominocus, Nabisco vanilla wafers. Bet you I can beat you all in dominoes. Sorry about that. Okay, I digress. On the first broadcast of 2025. Steve, stay online if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. Again, get into a church that loves God, that's something you look forward to going to. Wow, man, it's Sunday morning. I get to go to church. That's good. That's the way I always looked at church, and I pray everybody else does too. If you're going, oh, I hate to go, it's so boring, and then you need to find a church where God's word comes alive. Hope that helps. Let's go to Heidi. No, excuse me, Robbie. We're going to go to Heidi in a minute. Let's go to Pastor Robbie in Wenatchee, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi, brother. I'm out plowing snow, and it's a little noisy. I apologize. The lady that called in about the help for Washington about her friend who was in prison?
Yes.
Tell her, you know, we were involved in that sex ring, and I was able to get all those people out of prison back in the 90s and stuff. But if she'll get a hold of Innocence Project Northwest and call Jackie McMurtry and tell her that Pastor Robbie Robertson gave her Jackie's name, University of Washington, Innocence Project Northwest, Jackie McMurtry is the head of it, and maybe Brad even knows her, and maybe somebody else there now. But if she'll give them a call, they'll deal with post-conviction situations, and if there's any chance at all for Washington, and especially, you know, new evidence and a lot of things that have turned up regarding DNA and stuff, she can be of great benefit, great help for her, because she sounded like she was pretty discouraged when she called in, but she needs to understand that this station reaches a lot of people all over the United States, all over the world for that matter.
Yeah, millions. And yes, Robbie, be sure to leave your number with the operator afterwards. And if we can get that number to her, I may even have her call you to get all those details. Brad, any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wrote the information down because I don't think I've connected with Jackie and her project, Innocence Project. Love to learn more about that. We at Pacific Justice, we love to work with other organizations in a collaborative way. So I really appreciate that call, Pastor. Thank you. And we'd love to serve you and your church in any way in the future, of course, as well.
Robbie, I hope that helps.
Yep, you got her, my friend.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks for the heads up, and Happy New Year to you.
Yes.
Stay on the line if you like. Send those things out to you and your church. Great to show your whole congregation the life, the movie Jesus, based on the book of Luke. So great. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program. Today we have Bernice on the line in Globe, Arizona, East Phoenix. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. So my question is I had a son that passed away 2 years ago, and my other sons wanted to separate his ashes and make like little urns out of them. So I bought him some urns, and I got me one in the process, and we separated his ashes. And I just wanted to know, because somebody told me that was like witchcraft to hold on to the ashes. And, you know, they're in tiny little urns. You know, I don't like really wear it around my neck or nothing. Is that bad?
Well, you know, the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. So it's really, I hate to say it, but it's almost kind of a meaningless ritual. Now, I realize a person's ashes are what's left of them here on this earth. We go to memorial parks, cemetery, you'll see headstones with the birth date, the death date, and the little line in between those two numbers was the person's life. And so, you know, fire just does what natural time will do in just a matter of seconds. But I would have to maybe ask the question even deeper, why would somebody be doing this? Because, again, I understand somebody's son, but I don't want to remember them in a jar on my fireplace. I want to think about them in heaven and rejoicing with the Lord and being with all the saints that was in their life and those before. It's how we're remembered. And I don't want to be thought of being in a jar someplace. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it could even be a distraction potentially, but you know, I have not been down that road where someone like that has passed away, like a spouse or a child. And my parents were, you know, both passed on to be with the Lord. I don't see anything as scripturally saying, you know, you cannot, you know, have someone's ashes like that. I mean, I just don't see the benefit of it. Sometimes it can continually pull us down and even prevent us from remembering the truth, which you just mentioned, Pastor Mike, which is that they're not here anymore. You know, if they knew the Lord, they received him as their Lord and Savior, they're with the Lord right now. And so, you know, I just look at it from a perspective. Does it encourage you in your walk with the Lord and the hope that you have in Christ, and as well as for that individual with Christ? Or is it something that possibly is a distraction or even, you know, depressing? It's something I think everyone has to examine for themselves. And I personally not into cremation, but I have no theology to really base it on. So I'd seek the Lord on that one and make sure it's not pulling you away from the truth, but instead something that's at the very least neutral.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does, because I don't. It's not like a distraction to me, you know, because I do believe that, you know, he's with the Lord. You know, and it does like go ahead and make me, you know, just get deeper into my walk with the Lord, because I know we're going to be reunited.
And we're going to get a brand new body too, one that doesn't break down like this one does. Now, I don't believe anybody in heaven right now is lacking anything. It's a spiritual place. But we get our new bodies. Curiously, the dead in Christ rise first. They get their bodies. Then we who are alive and remain are transformed. Moment, twinkling of an eye, Paul tells us. And we're going to need this body to rule and reign with him here on this earth for 1,000 years. It's very clear that we are going to be the enforcers of righteousness here on this earth with Christ as the King of the world. And so I think it's really noteworthy that it comes right before the millennial reign of Christ, right during that time, during the rewards ceremony that we have in heaven, the Bema Seat judgment. And so very clearly, Jesus talked about this particular reward seat. Everybody stands before a judgment seat, some for everlasting reward, some for everlasting condemnation, as we find for the majority in the great white throne judgment. Everybody's whose name's not found written in the book of life in the great white throne judgments, cast in the lake of fire, burns forever. The idea of annihilation, as many organizations, the Jehovah's Witnesses and others, say, well, it's just a flash in the pan. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude, they are tormented with fire throughout all of eternity. And so this idea of annihilation, a flash in the pan, is absolutely non-biblical. And so we have to go back to what the Bible said. And Jesus gave up all the worship of heaven, being God, born in a manger that we celebrate at Christmas, to die on a cross for our sins, to keep us from this terrible eternal place called hell. And I don't believe that if it was a flash in the pan, if it was annihilation, Jesus would not have done that. But he was brutalized by humans as the wrath of God was poured out upon him as well, who took our place on the cross. And again, I believe that Eternity is forever. The Bible says it's forever. Everybody spends eternity somewhere, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting condemnation. So I believe it's so important that we understand that. As far as what I would do with somebody's ashes, well, generally speaking, I don't know, probably I'd put them in a cemetery. That's where kind of the dead go. Their bodies. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Any last thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think you've covered it well, and there's a lot of discretion there. The key is the impact it has or doesn't have on your heart and your focus and your specifically your walk with the Lord.
Hope that helps.
It does help. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your show. Thank you for taking my call. And God bless you guys.
Well, Bernice, same to you. Happy New Year to you. Stay online if you like. Send you out a couple of videos, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy, a couple of books I think you'll be able to share those with your friends. Let's go to Heidi, Minnesota. Hi, welcome.
Hello there, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yes, thank you. What my question was originally, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if the Holy Spirit hit me or what, but now my question is, what does a person, I know the Bible verse, I don't know exactly where, look like when they're a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Well, one of the ways is what they eat and the tracks they leave. It's very clear a wolf track doesn't look anything like a sheep track. And this is what I tell people all the time. The tracks they leave and what they eat. Sheep are grass eaters. Wolves are meat eaters. I think that's one of the two of the ways that you can tell. I tell people, especially this at time of elections, when people are running for public office, they're very conservative. Oh, I'm anti-crime. I'm this, I'm that. The minute they get in office, they're pardoning all these criminals or doing all these kinds of stuff. Hey, it's the tracks they leave. How did they view crime before they became a presidential candidate or a senator or something? Well, if they were soft on crime when they were in some local jurisdiction or even the House or Senate, they're going to be worse when they get to be president. On the other hand, if they've been a person that was law abiding and encouraging that, I think that that's what they're going to be like. When it comes to in the church, there are those that see God's family as potential to make money. They right. see them as potential to talk out of their faith and join their cult. They see all these things. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, exactly. We see manipulation. Wolves are people that you manipulate. But they're people that not only allow for division, they sometimes cause division for their own benefit. And they do get into churches. And you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about those who are deceiving and being deceived themselves. And we've seen that in our society today. We've seen it on television and in different ways. So one of the key things that I look at is, does their life have the manifestation of love and living love to their neighbor and love for the Lord? Or is the bottom line drive for their own benefit, for their own wealth, for their own notoriety, etc.? Those are things that I think are important. And do they pour themselves into others' lives, or do they take from others and then at others' expense? And you know, we have to be careful and ask for discernment from the Lord. But it all comes to the surface, and we need to be very discerning and not quick to jump on you know, in support of someone and what they're doing without really being careful to find out where they're at and what they're really what's really driving them.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, it does somewhat. But anyway, thank you for your time, and I appreciate that.
Well, God bless you, and have a happy new year. And Heidi, if you need us, call us. We're here for you. However, we may be able to be of use to those questions that you may have. Stay the line. We'll send those things out to you that I send everybody. And again, happy new year to you. Let's go to Brian in Jackson, Mississippi. Hi, welcome.
Hey, pastors. Before I ask my question, I just want to let you know that your radio program is my favorite part of my commute home.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad we are able to ride along with you.
All right. So my question comes from 1 Kings 13, which I'll quickly summarize. You have a man of God that's sent to Jeroboam to deliver a prophecy, and God instructs him not to eat or drink anything.
Right.
And to go home by a different way. On the way home, he encounters an old prophet who entices him into eating and drinking, because he says that the old prophet says that God told him to. And then at the end of the chapter, the man of God is killed by a lion because he disobeyed the Lord. So my question is, how was the man of God supposed to know that he was being lied to? How did he know that the man that Scripture describes as an old prophet wasn't acting like a prophet?
Well, I believe that he very clearly knew what God's directive for his life was. And I think we need to always be careful when God gives us clear directive, no matter who comes in the name of the Lord, we need to be very careful. He was told clearly, you deliver your message and come home a different way than the way you went. And he didn't do that. Now, we're always going to find people in this life that says, come over here. Come over here. I'm a man of God. Come over here. I'm a woman of God. Come over here. Come over here. I believe this is what we're inundated with right now in the cults. It's very clear what the Bible says, but they all got their own twist on it. And it doesn't matter if this person claimed to be a prophet of God or not. He had clear directive of what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. There's always a consequence to rebellion to God. And you can say, well, you know, I'm going to marry this girl. She's really nice, or this guy. They're not a Christian. I know the Bible says I shouldn't do it. One of my Christian friends said, oh, it's going to be okay. And you marry him, and there's consequences. Well, he's a raging drunk. I don't know why I married the guy. Well, the Bible said don't do it, but you were misled by your friends. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it's easy for us to be tempted to follow something that's maybe different than what God has said, especially when that person is saying, oh, thus saith the Lord, you know, God has given me this word for you. And what they're telling you is exactly what you want to hear. You know, this prophet was, you know, on the road, maybe he was tired. He was, you know, he probably liked, you know, to get down and take a break. And, you know, so we have to be careful that, you know, sometimes when we're weak, we're tired, we're worn, we're whatever, that we are, we're maintaining our alertness as to what does God want me to do? And even if it's not comfortable, even if it's inconvenient, we need to make that as our focus and not be just jump and say, well, God, okay, you told this person. No, God holds us accountable to be discerning. You know, I tell believers, the older I get, the more I pray with one eye open. That sounds a little bit cynical, but, you know, I've seen, people who are followers of the Lord who have, you know, powerful words that, of knowledge that come to them from the Lord and is supported by Scripture. And then others that come up and they say something and we need to test it. We need to test it and not just take it on face value, and definitely make sure it's not contrary to what the Lord has already convicted us to do or what His word says.
And it's very clear, if you read 1 Kings 13 again, as you were saying, look at verse 18. The very last part of that verse says, but this prophet lied to him, the one that was sent by God to deliver the message to the king. And this false prophet, if you will, he was a prophet, but he lied to him. Again, that's 1 Kings 13, 18 gives you your answer. So hope that helps. Happy New Year to you. Stay on the line. Brian will send you out the things. We're all out of time, everyone. Thanks, Brad, for being on. Again, check him out. Brad is found at Pacific Justice Institute, PJI.org. God bless you all. Have a safe weekend. See you Monday.
Thanks, sir.
PO Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.